Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace Jai Anand Gauranga Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji will be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.27.3 and the glories of Loknath Goswami. But before we jump into this nectar and class, I will request Balachandra Prabhuji to share a brief introduction about His Grace Jai Anand Gauranga Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Lakshmi Mataji, thank you for a warm welcome. It's my pleasure to introduce His Grace Jayananda Gauranga Prabhuji. His Grace Jayananda Gauranga Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Guru Maharaj. Prabhuji is working as a professor at Texas A&M University, and Prabhuji came into Krishna consciousness in college days. Since then, Prabhuji has been chanting 16 rounds of japa for the past 22 years. Prabhuji is very well versed with the scriptures such as Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. He has read Chaitanya Charitamrita over 50 times. He has been doing edifications of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam for the Bhaktivrikshas. Thank you for the opportunity. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, please take all the call.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. I really appreciate the opportunity. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Meelitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tamsajivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamscha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale, Srimate Jayapataka Swami Niti Namine Namacharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakata Dhamadhaya Nagaragrama Tarine Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I'm going to start with us for the first few minutes on the glories of Srila Loknatha Goswami, and then we will start the discussion on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, Verse 13. So, Loknatha Goswami is an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was fully absorbed in Krishna Prema, the love of the Lord. He shunned name and fame so much that he asked the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, who is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, to keep his name out of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there is only one verse in the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita that mentions Loknatha Goswami because of this request. Excuse me. And that is in the Madhya Leela, 18.49. Sangi Gopala Bhatta Dhasa Raghunath Raghunath Bhatta Gosai are Loknath. But in addition to this verse, Prabhupada mentions Loknatha Goswami in a few other purports, and Prabhupada mentions in the purports with reference to the temple where the deities of Loknatha Goswami are located now in Vrindavan. His deities, the personal deities of Lokanatha Goswami are is Radha Vinoda, Sri Radha Vinoda, and he is, and this deity is now located in Vrindavan in the temple of Radha Gokulanandan. And Radha Gokulanandan is the personal deities of Sri Vishwanatha Chakravarti. And Prabhupada mentioned this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Leela, chapter 1, verse 19. He mentions again in Adi Leela, chapter 7, verse 164. And he mentions in Adi Leela, chapter 12, verse 88. And then he cites, Prabhupada cites in the purport, in the Madhya Leela 18.52, as part of Rupa Goswami's work called as Bhakti Ratnakara. And here Prabhupada quotes also in from a book called as the Shakha Nirnaya, written by Yadunandana Das, where he names the branches of Gadadhara Pandit. So Gadadhara Pandit's branches, the 16th branch is mentioned as Lokanatha Bhatta. And we know that this is Lokanatha Goswami because it mentions that this is the devotee who lived in the village of Talakhadi in the district of Yashohara. And he constructed the temple of Radha Vinoda. And he's the spiritual master of Srila Narottama Das Thakur. And he and Narottama and who and was a great friend of Bhugarbha Goswami. So Lokanatha Goswami was a great friend of Bhugarbha Goswami. In fact, they went to Vrindavan together when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had asked them to go. So, and Narottama Das Thakur, he cites the following. This is the Guru Pranati prayer for Lokanatha Goswami. And he says, Srimad Radha Dinodhaika Seva Sampat Samanvidham Padmanab Atmajam Srimal Lokanatha Prabhum Bhaje. So, I worship the lotus feet of Srila Lokanatha Prabhu, the son of Sri Padmanabha. He's a storehouse of single-minded service to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Vinoda. So this is the Guru Pranati or the Pranam Mantra for Lokanatha Das Goswami, and it was written by Narottama Das Thakur. And these are some of the sentences which were spoken by Lokanatha Goswami, that his body and mind were completely attached to Vrindavan. And his deity's name is Sri Radha Vinoda. And that anyone who reads the Srimad Bhagavatam is a friend of Lokanatha Goswami. And once the Lord Krishna himself appeared and gave the deity of Sri Radha Vinoda to Lokanatha Goswami. And Lokanatha Goswami carried this deity. He was so attached to the deities that he carried the deities all over the Vrajamandal in a cloth bag hung around his neck. And then he constructed this temple of Radha Vinoda. But then eventually the temple was... I will give a brief introduction of the temple as well. But Lokanatha Goswami accepted only one disciple, and that disciple was Narottama Das Thakur. And he appreciated the genuine humility and determination of Narottama Das Thakur to serve his spiritual master, Lokanatha Goswami. And Lokanatha Goswami's original deities of Radha Vinoda, they are now in Rajasthan, in the city of Jaipur. And now, an expanded form or a replacement of the original deity of Radha Vinoda is now present in the altar of the Radha Gokulanandan temple. And the Radha Gokulanandan temple, the deities of Radha Gokulanandan are of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. And then you also have the deities of Narottama Das Thakur, and then you have the replacement deities of Lokanatha Goswami, which is Radha Vinoda, whereas the original deities, many of the original deities are in Rajasthan. And they were saved when there was a lot of destruction in Vrindavan around the 1500s. They were all, many of them were transported to Rajasthan. and including the chief, the main three deities there, of Radha, Govinda, Gopinath, and Madan Mohan, Damodar, all the deities were taken to Rajasthan. Now the samadhi of Lokanatha Goswami is still there in the Radha Gokulanandan deity complex, and is the largest samadhi there. And his disappearance was just about a few 4 days ago on July 12th on the Ashtami. And in the Gaura Ganadesa Deepika, it's verse 187. Shri Kavikarnapura says that Lokanatha Goswami in the Nitya Leela of Krishna serves as Srimati Radharani's Leela Manjari and in the Nitya Vrindavan Leela. With this note on the glories of Srila Lokanatha Goswami, we will move on to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, Verse 13. Chandavega iti khyato gandharbhavi patir nripa gandharbhas tasya balinaha shashti uttara shatatrayam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Jai. Translation: O King, in the Gandharva Loka, there is a king named Chandavega. Under him, there are 360 powerful Gandharva soldiers. Purport. Time is figuratively described here as Chandavega. Since time and tide wait for no man, time is herein called as Chandavega, which means very swiftly passing away. As time passes, it is calculated in terms of years. 1 year contains 360 days, and the soldiers of Chandavega, herein mentioned, represent these days. Time passes swiftly. Chandavega's powerful soldiers of Gandharva Loka were swiftly carry away all the days of our life. As the sun rises and sets, it snatches away the balance of our lifespan. Thus, as each day passes, each one of us loses some of life's duration. It is therefore said that the duration of one's life cannot be saved. But if one is engaged in devotional service, his time cannot be taken away by the sun. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Verse 17, Ayur harati vaipumsam udhyanastam chayan asau. The conclusion is that if one wants to make himself immortal, he should give up sense gratification. By engaging oneself in devotional service, one can gradually enter into the eternal kingdom of God. Mirages and other illusory things are sometimes called Gandharvas. Our losing lifespan is taken as advancement of age. This imperceptible passing away of the days of life is figuratively referred to in this verse as the Gandharvas. As explained in the later verses, such Gandharvas are both male and female. This indicates that both men and women lose their lifespan imperceptibly by the force of time, which is herein described as Chandavegat. So there will be about three or four learning objectives for this morning's discussion. The first learning objective from this verse and purport is, what is time? The second learning objective will be, why is time limited? The third learning objective is, how can we make use of time? So these are the three learning objectives that we will visit this morning. So let's start with the first learning objective here. What is time? Chandavegha itself refers to time. So The concept of time is difficult to understand. But then if you put that in a story form, it is easier to understand. So if you give the facts and figures, sometimes it may be hard. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, this is explained figuratively or in an allegorical fashion so that we understand the concept of time. So here the analogy of time is made with Chandavega, which pretty much refers to time. In the Bhagavad Gita, so let's see what is time from various perspectives. So in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 30, Krishna says, Kalaha Kalyatam Aham, that among the subduers, Krishna is time. That there are many subduing principles, but time wears down all things in the material universe, and therefore it represents Krishna. So among all kinds of killers, time is the ultimate because time kills everything. So therefore, time is the representative of Krishna because in the due course of time, everything will be annihilated. Kalosmi loka kshaya. Time is destruction and all manifestations are to be vanquished by the desire of the Supreme Lord. So this means that not only the material bodies, okay, the bodies, material bodies, living, the living souls, the bodies accepted by them, but even the Jada, if you take all the what is visible to us, the mountains, everything will be subdued by time. So today there will be mountains, tomorrow they may be destroyed. So in this way, everything that is matter, they will be so time is destruction, and all these manifestations will be vanquished by the desire of the Supreme Lord, and that is the law of nature. Therefore, the Lord here says, Kalosmi Lokakshaya. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds. So the Mahavishnu, called as Karanodakasai Vishnu, is the first incarnation, okay, of the Supreme Lord in the material universe. So when the Lord expands, he first, in the causal ocean, he expands as the Karana, the Karana ocean or the causal ocean. And there he says that that Mahavishnu is the master of the eternal time. Yevam kalopi anumitaha. So one can, so how do we estimate what is time? So the Srimad Bhagavatam helps us understand how to estimate what is time. And the Bhagavatam says that one can estimate time by measuring the movement of the atomic combination of bodies. So this is in the first canto. I don't remember exactly where it comes, but it's there. It says that time is the potency of the almighty personality of Godhead Hari, who controls all the physical movement, although he is not visible in this physical world. So how do we estimate what is time? Time is estimated by measuring the movement of the atomic combination of the bodies. And in the third canto, in 11th chapter, where again the Bhagavatam, it says, Sakalaha Paramanurvai Sakalaha Paramo Mahan. So this is how it is describing Kala, which is time. And what it's saying here is time and space are two correlative terms. That is, time is measured in terms of its covering certain space of atoms. So if we see the not even now in the material world, in the science that is widely taught, time is again defined very similar to what is defined in the Bhagavatam, where if we see the standard international units for measurement of time, it says 1 second is defined as a time it takes for the atom called a cesium its frequency to oscillate a certain number of times. So the Bhagavatam pretty much gives the similar definition in the first canto, where it talks about it in terms of space and time, and that it can be estimated by the movement of the atomic combination of the bodies. So the standard time, the second way by which you can, the Bhagavatam says this, and the same thing is mentioned even in the modern times, in the modern science as well, that the standard time can also be calculated in terms of the movement of sun. The planet sun, the time is covered. How is it calculated? Is that the sun in the passing over an atom is calculated. So when sun passes over one atom, and in that way, the atomic time, the measurement of atomic time is calculated. So the greatest of all covers of the entire, and so the time covers, it is here we're talking about like 1 second, but it actually covers the entire existence of the manifestation. So to give some understanding of how the time is in this material manifestation, we will take just our universe into consideration. And here, our Brahma in this universe lives for 311 trillion years and 40 billion years. That is the lifespan of Brahma in our universe. And the Brahmas of different universes, they all have their own lifespans. And after that time, there is a complete annihilation of this universe, and the current Brahma will leave his body. Then there is another Brahma, and then the next cycle will start. So one cycle of this universe is the lifespan of Brahma, which is 311 trillion years and 40 billion years. And during the lifetime of this universe, there are partial creations and partial annihilations. So that means at the beginning of each day of Brahma, there is a creation, and at the end of each day, there is a partial annihilation. So what is one day of Brahma? One day of Brahma is called as Kalpa. And that Kalpa is 4.32 billion years. And Brahma's night also is of the same duration, which is 4.32 billion years. And at the beginning of each day of Brahma, he creates everything in this universe. So there is partial creation. And then at the end of each day, that is after 12 years, there is partial, 12 hours, there is partial annihilation. And this day of Brahma, that is 12 hours, is 4.32 billion years. And creation happens only during the daytime, okay? Because he rests during the nighttime. And during the daytime, so in this daytime, the 12 hours, that is 4.32 billion years, is in turn divided into 14 divisions, which is called as 14 Udaya Kalpas. Udaya means it's rising, so during the daytime, so it is not during the nighttime of Brahma. So there are 14 subdivisions called as the 14 Udaya Kalpas. So the 14 Udaya Kalpas, right now we are going through a Kalpa, one of those 14 divisions, called as Shweta Varaha Kalpa. That is the division we are in. And in each of these Kalpas, with the 14 Kalpas, the first person who comes from Brahma is called as a Manu. That's where the English word man comes from. The first person is called as Manu. And the Manu of this Kalpa is called as the Vaivashvata Manu. And earlier to this, there were six, each of these are called as also Manvantaras. And there were six Manvantaras before this, and there were six Manus. And one Manvantara, in turn, is further subdivided into what are called as 71 Mahayugas. Okay, so one Mahayuga refers to the four further subdivisions, which are the Satya Yuga or the Krita Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, and Kali Yuga. So these four Chatur, the Yugas, the four Yugas, is called as one Mahayuga. 71 such Mahayugas will form one Manvantara. And then you have 14 such in 12 hours of Brahma, which is one day of Brahma. So, and in this one Mahayuga, and we are right now in the seventh Manvantara here, which is the Vaiveshvata Manvantara. Okay, so that is the, that's where we are now. And each of this Mahayuga, so we have 1.728 million years in the Satya Yuga, 1.296 million years in the Treta Yuga, 864,000 years in the Dwapar, and 432,000 years in the Kali. And then the next cycle, the next Mahayuga will start, and the Satya Yuga will begin again. So it is... when we consider ourselves, it's, we are in a very minuscule position compared to what exists in the material manifestation. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Krishna himself is death. He says, I am death. Krishna himself is death. And as death, that Krishna takes away everything at the end of life. And this eternal time is also without beginning, and that Krishna is, and the time, and he's the, and it is the creator, the time is the creator of all creatures. So here the example is given is that of a touchstone, which creates many valuable stones and jewels, but does not decrease in power. Similarly, creation occurs many, many times. Everything is maintained. And after a time, everything is annihilated by the original creator, the Supreme Lord. But still, despite all this, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, remains untouched and undiminished in power. So the secondary creation is done by Brahma, but Brahma himself is created by the Lord. And Lord Shiva, at the end of Brahma's lifespan, after 100 years of Brahma, Lord Shiva will annihilate the whole creation. But at the end, he himself is annihilated by Vishnu, and Vishnu alone remains. So in the Vedic hymns, it is stated that in the beginning, there is only Vishnu. The Vishnu who lies in the causal ocean, called as the Karanodakasai Vishnu or the Mahavishnu, and that he alone remains at the end. So if we see in this purport of this verse, it says that there are 360 days, which is used in 1 year. So there are three references to the verse 360 days as constituting 1 year. One is in the Rig Veda 1.164.22, where it confirms that there are 360 days in a year. And again in the Rig Veda 1.164.48, again it says that there are 360 rods in a wheel. With that analogy, it talks about 360 days in a year. And then there is Aitreya Brahmana, which also talks about that there are 360 days in a year. But this 360 day in a year is not like a natural division of time, but in a sense, it's an artificial, it is an artificial in a sense. And anyway, Prabhupada himself mentions that this analogy that is used here is figurative, that is allegorical. And it is used to explain this concept of time in a way that is understandable for men. The 360 day year does not refer to the length of a solar year, which is around 365 days. So solar year is about 365 point something. But in 1 day, what you can also see is, but there are 360 lunar tithis. So the solar days is about 365 point something. But if you see the tithis, each tithi is a lunar day, and there are 365 lunar days. But if you see the 360 lunar days are only 354 point something solar days. So generally and if we perform the activities according to lunar days, which is usually done only during sacrifices to the moon god, then the 360 days can be taken as 360 lunar days. Otherwise, it is taken as an allegorically as the 360 days as a division of time as how the year goes. So So that is our first discussion of the first learning objective of what is time. The second learning objective for this morning is why is time limited? So we have limited amount of time left. So here in the purport, Prabhupada says that this imperceptible passing away of the days of life is what is figuratively referred to in this verse as the Gandharvas. So time is just passing by. So we are sitting, doing so many things, but time is passing. So he says time and tide waits for none. So it is said, Evam griheshu sakkanam kalaha parama dustaraha. So that now we think, okay, I'm very happy. I have everything in order. My bank balance is pretty good. I can give all I want to give. I want to provide to my children. I will give my house and everything to my children. I'm very successful. So these are some of the thoughts which engross the attached householder, who are called as the Griha Medhas, and who is not aware to the passing of the eternal time. So Prahlad Maharaj describes this in the Bhagavatam, Matirna Krishner Parato Svatova Mitho Vipadhyate Griha Brithanam. Griha Britha. Britha, Griha means house. Britha means they have taken an oath that they are bound to this house. So the opposite would be a Grihastha who is, even though he's in the house, but he's working in a liberated platform. The opposite is, you can call it as Grihamedi or as Prahlad Maharaj calls this as Griha Britha. Britha means he has taken oath to be bound by these activities in home, all the time thinking about children and husband and wife and how to be successful and how to have a good balance. How can I make everything good for me in my life? But when he or she is making these plans, they don't realize that the duration of life is measured and that no one is able to enhance it by even 1 second against the scheduled time ordained by the supreme will based on our activities in all our previous lives. So such valuable time, especially for the human being, should be cautiously spent, because even a second passed away without our knowledge, imperceptibly, we may not be aware of it. We are in this illusory platform, but if it is imperceptibly, it just keeps on going. It still cannot be replaced. Time once gone cannot be replaced. Even an exchange of thousands of gold coins amassed by hard labor. We might work very hard, but time cannot be replaced by that wealth that we have accrued. Therefore, every second of human life is meant for making an ultimate solution to the problems of life. And what is the ultimate problem? Is the repetition of birth and death and revolving around these millions of different species of life. So most people, they are, and in the not in the conditioned state, one does not know at all how to solve the problems of life. But they become engrossed in the temporary family affairs, not knowing that the eternal time is passing away imperceptibly and that their measured duration of life is diminishing every second without any solution to the big problem, which is repetition of birth and death, disease, old age. And this is an illusion. So whenever there is an influence of eternal time, there is a set of tribulations. And what are the tribulations? Birth, disease, old age, death. And all of them are invincible. Therefore, if we see the culture, the material, the conditioned state, those in the conditioned state, if we see constantly every day, every minute, every one of us have problems, material problems, they keep coming. It can be from our family, it can be from wife, husband, children, parents, grandparents, grandchildren, or it can be from work, it can be from anywhere in the street, it can be from material nature, or it can be from ourselves. So these problems are constantly there, but we are trying very hard to become happy and to solve these problems. But unfortunately, these problems, material problems, are not solvable because the nature of the material world is of problems. If we are in the middle of an ocean, a saltwater ocean, and then what we can taste there is only salty. Whatever it is we taste will be salty. So we can expect that the ocean will change its nature and become sweet for us. That means material nature is always going to give problems. And even if we pray to Krishna to solve our material problem, the next problem is going to come on its own like a wave. And hence, we do not really need to waste time trying to solve the material problems because material problems are not solvable. Therefore, an intelligent person will learn to live with the problem. The problem can be there along, it can be there with us all the time, but we can focus on Krishna, and therefore the problem will not affect us. Therefore, instead of trying to solve the problem and being worried about it, the best is to transcend and to spiritualize the situation and transcend from the material realm and to focus on Krishna. And therefore, the problems are still there, but our consciousness has transcended into the spiritual domain. And therefore, in this day and age, you might have so many people offering different kinds of solutions, whether it is astrological solution or in the form of a guru who is not bona fide, or whether it is psychological solutions or any solution can be given, but none of this can offer solution because the problems are going to persist. Therefore, instead of worshipping Krishna to solve the material problem, it is better to thank Krishna that he has given the problem to us, because without those problems, we are not going to make progress. Artho artharthi jignyasu jnani cha bharatarshapha. That means the first of the thing that is mentioned here is artho. Arthi means distressed. Generally, many devotees, when I have spoken with, they say that their spiritual progress is always the best when they are in problems. When they have problems, the spiritual progress is best. And when the problem diminishes a bit, then the spiritual progress also diminishes a bit. So it is better that there are problems, and the less the problems, it is harmful, for it will not help the spiritual progress at all. Therefore, it is better to in fact invite problems, and those problems will help us move towards Krishna. But from the material consciousness, everyone is afraid of the activities of time, if they even think about it. But a devotee knows that the time factor is another representation of the manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is nothing to fear of the influence of time. Rupa Bhedaspadam, that means that the influence of time, so many forms are changing. For example, when a child is born, the form is small, but in the course of time, the form changes into a larger form, and then becomes a younger person, man or woman. And similarly, everything is changed and transformed by this factor called time. and the time functions indirectly under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Transcendently, Krishna present in the Goloka Vrindavan, and then in the material manifestation as the Karano Dakasai Vishnu, and imminently as the super soul called as Chiro Dakasai Vishnu, who is present as the super soul, as Paramatma in everyone's heart. So both in a transcendent and immanent, Krishna is the indirect controller of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So usually we do not see any difference between the body of the child and the body of a young man or woman, because we know that these are changes due to the action of time factor. When we say I'm talking about devotees, they see that they are, all of these are acting according to the time factor, and therefore there is a cause for fear for a person who does not know how time acts. So let me go to the last learning objective for the day, which is, how can we make use of time? So we think that we can finish all our material duties and problems and all our businesses, and then we can start Krishna consciousness. So we'll say, okay, let me finish all these activities. I have activity number one, activity number two, activity number three, and then at the end we can start Krishna consciousness. And then we might think, okay, today, you know, I have this biggest problem that has come about in work. My very existence has been, material existence has come into stake. So let's solve this problem and make ourselves first materially viable. And then we'll come to Krishna consciousness down in our list. But that there is no time today, but maybe there will be tomorrow. But that is not going to help at all, because Rupa Goswami says the first characteristic that we need to have is called as enthusiasm. And if we don't have any, even a conceptualization of what is devotional service of or what is Krishna consciousness, how can we be enthusiastic about it? So we know that if we go to work or if we do some activity in the material world, maybe we know how it is. We know the concept of how it exists. So we can be enthusiastic about it. But if one does not even have the concept of what is Krishna consciousness, how can one be enthusiastic about it? Therefore, we should consider of how we are using our time. An advanced devotee always considers that if the devotee is wasting their time. So we have temple programs, we have these Zoom calls. So where we can show enthusiasm, which is called as utsaha. Utsaha, utsahan is the word used in Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. And all our material problems can wait for that 15 minutes during the kirtan or the aarti that we are doing, or the 16 rounds that we chant. All the material problems can wait, because it's not going anywhere. It is there. The problem is there. It is going to be there. And even if that problem, one problem goes away, that wave is gone, the next wave is going to come, and all that can wait. That means we need to have patience, which is called as dhairyat, which is the next feature mentioned in Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, that we need to be patient, and we patiently, we can hear the names of Krishna while chanting with determination. We need to be patient. Patiently, we need to chant. Okay, so even if we don't understand this concept of Krishna consciousness, we still need to be patient and with the determination. So there is no need to think about what will happen tomorrow. While chanting, many times one does planning. There is chanting going on, but there is constant thing in the mind. What is going to happen tomorrow? Oh, maybe I should have not done that. I should have not done this. Maybe this is how the future is going to be. What will happen tomorrow? All that can wait. We may have hundreds of reasons why not to listen to a lecture attentively. Hundreds of reasons why we may not be able to chant attentively today. But what we don't understand is that time is passing, and that we need to make an effort to listen to a lecture, listen to our own chanting, and we need to make an effort. And it is not that the world is waiting for us. Time is moving on. Thus, we hold that therefore in ISKCON there is continuous activities, devotional service activities that is going on throughout the day. And therefore, this is called as Sato Vritti. That means following the footsteps of previous acharyas who have expertly filled every moment with Krishna conscious activities, because that is what is there in the spiritual world. It is the Nitya Leela. It is continuously, everything is Krishna conscious. So if we are unable to be Krishna conscious throughout the day, how are we going to be, how are we even going to gel in the spiritual world where there is Krishna consciousness all the time? So the point here is, what is the point of our life if it is going to be full of suffering? So, but we might have here, somebody might, if we ask a materialist, they would say, oh, I'm enjoying. They're all enjoying. But what they don't understand is they are completely in suffering and have and do not have a taste of even what is enjoyment. So when one engages in the higher principles and experiences the higher taste, then one can experience what is called as the transcendental bliss. The richest man in the world and the poorest man, all of them can claim that they are happy in one way. And we may think happiness is dependent on certain material situations, but happiness and materials is not dependent on material situation, because the happiness is all there in the higher principles and in experiencing the transcendental bliss of Krishna consciousness. And the chanting of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is not dependent on material situations. It is transcendent to material situation and it is not to do with any material situation. Therefore, an important take-home message today we can have is, no matter what the problem we have, all those problems can wait when we chant with determination and enthusiasm the names of Krishna, which does not even belong to this material world. Krishna, the name Krishna, is entirely transcendental and it belongs to the spiritual world. It comes from the spiritual world. It enters, the name Krishna is spoken by the spiritual mouth of the spiritual body and it enters our spiritual ears and it's entirely transcendental. And with that, we are 50 minutes have elapsed, and I would like to thank for this opportunity. Thank you so much, Vancha Kalpatru Bhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhyayavacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. I offer my humble obeisances unto all the Vaishnavas who are assembled here. And at this time, I will mute my microphone and we will open this for discussion. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Prabhu, for the very, very interesting class. It was very nice to hear about time from so many different aspects. I have two questions. I mean, mostly it's like I'm just going to ask you to help me with understanding it better by repeating it. So the first question was about, the third canto, calculation of time from atom, that chapter. So as you explained that time is calculated from the time taken by the sun to cover the space of an atom, and then a hexatom, and then it goes on and on. So that part, I mean, can you, and also you mentioned about the vibration of an atom and time, something to do with modern understanding. I didn't get that part quite well. So can you please repeat the comparison between the two, if you made a comparison?
Okay, Mataji. First, thank you very much for your comments. And the only thing which I mention here is the Bhagavatam also talks about an estimate of time in terms of measuring the movement of the atomic combinations of bodies. And this is there in the first canto of Bhagavatam itself, like in the very first few chapters, to the best of my memory. And it is also mentioned in the third canto as, I think the verse was Sarkalah Paramanurbai, and then it ends, the verse ends with Sarkalah Paramo Mahan. So that means of the time and space. So time and space are like two correlative terms. So this is, so the two analogies that I did draw here, I mean, analogies are they're never perfect, but at least some similarity that I noted was one, that the Bhagavatam talks about the movement of the atomic combinations of the bodies. And then a similar definition is actually followed in the modern physics, which is about, and they have taken the atom, the Bhagavatam mentions that as atom, but in the modern science, the it is called as, I think, the cesium clock. So that's how the time is, the standard international units of time is measured with that. And then it is like the frequency, that is, it is the ray, the, it's a radioactive atom, I think, and it, the free, and then for it to decay, and with respect to its half-life, I think it goes, it oscillates. You know, there is so there is so many times it oscillates in that clock, the cesium clock, in about in 1 second, and that is like with respect to the half-life, and that's how it is calculated. So that is the analogy between the Bhagavatam and the modern day thing. So both are talking about, Bhagavatam is also talking about the movement of the atomic combinations of the bodies, and in the modern thing, the atom that is taken here is the cesium, and that is commonly used as in the cesium clock. And I think that clock, the cesium, this atomic clock called as the cesium clock, is there somewhere in Europe, maybe Geneva or something, somewhere that's where it is, it's there, I think, somewhere it's there. And then, which is used in the standard international units. And then the second thing, the modern, in physics, it is also, time is also spoken about in terms of movement of the sun. And that's what is also mentioned here in the Bhagavatam, that time is measured in terms of its, the sun passing over one atom. So in that way, when it passes over an atom, you can calculate the time. And the Bhagavatam goes on by saying that in spite of all these basic calculations, the greatest of the times is what that covers the entire existence of the non-dual manifestation of the personality of the Lord.
Mm. Yes, Prabhu. That was, makes sense. One thing is, I didn't understand what we mean by saying the atomic... the atomic vibration of a body. I mean, say that again. I'm trying to get the words.
Atomic, let me check the verse.
My question is it like movement of bodies, right? When you say that, so does it mean that atoms form, they are in a framework, there's an object, and the movement of that, like for example, human body, the movement of the human body across atoms, or just the vibration, you know, like what I'm meaning is like atomic vibrations.
It is the atomic vibration. Because the atoms are all the time, you know, if you see the electrons, everything that inside the atom. And the reason why that is so is also because Krishna is present as Paramatma, as Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu, not only in our body, but he's also present in atoms. That is why the atoms are moving. That is why the atoms are vibrating. Because if Krishna, if Vishnu, as the Vishnu who lies in the milk ocean, isn't the transcendent form, but imminently he's also found in all the substance, in matter and atom, everything is, there is movement, there is movement of electrons, everything is moving because there is Vishnu present everywhere.
Okay, so the time is calculated based on the vibration of that atomic particle, meaning what is there in that atomic.
Yes, there are multiple ways to do that. One is with the vibration, one is with the sun
passing through the space
atom, and then you can also divide it even by, like, if you can, and then year can be calculated by multiple ways. Okay, what I was talking about is with respect to second, and all the cesium and all is with respect to second. And then with respect to year, you can calculate it by the time taken by sun to move to the southern hemisphere and come back to the Tropic of Cancer, moving all the way from Tropic of Cancer to Tropic of Capricorn, and then coming back all the way up to Cancer. So that is considered as
Ayanas,
Parayan and Dakshinayan, the entire thing. So in this way, And then you can subdivide it. And there are so many divisions of time like this.
And the, yes, Prabhu, that makes sense. So basically when you were talking about two things, you were saying one is as sun takes to move through a particular space is calculated as time, like, you know, sun's motion through a atom. That is one aspect. The other aspect is the very vibration within the atom that also can be projected.
Yes, the Bhagavatam says so. The Bhagavatam says so. In I think the, if I remember, it says something like Evam Kalopi Anumitaha. Anu is the atom. Anu is the Sanskrit word for atom. And it talks, and same thing in the third canto also, it talks about Paramanurvai, I think, something like that it says. Paramanu, Paramanu is the atom. You cannot go beyond that, it will lose its natural characteristic, something like that the Bhagavatam says.
Very nice, Prabhu. Thank you for giving both these perspectives. And the other question I had was, as you were talking about, yes, even I've heard that the Vedic calendar, according to the Vedic calculation, we generally say 360 days for a solar year, not 365. I mean, not solar year, or rather, whatever, you know, whatever year it is called. Lunar year, yeah. So now I have, yeah, that's where I need a clarification. So lunar year, you said in terms of tithis, right?
Yes.
So we generally do tithi system, and then you get 360. Then in the same Vedic tradition, what gives 365, you said?
The solar is about 365 points is the solar. The lunar tithis is 360, but if you look at that in terms of the days and nights that we have, the lunar year is only 354 days and 36.
How do I differentiate that?
The solar day is with respect to sunrise and sunset.
Oh, okay.
So, but the lunar day is with respect to moonrise, and therefore the 360 is the moonrise. That is the 360 tithis. But if you calculate that in terms of the solar days, in terms of sunrise and sunset, there's only three. It will amount to only 354 point something solar days.
So you're saying according to the Vedic calendar, the solar days is 354.
So it is Vedic calendar is it's not like it is 360 or 365 or 354 like that. There are for different purposes, different annual calendars are followed. For instance, if you take the sacrifices that are performed to the moon god, then they, in those kind of sacrifices, the lunar tithis, the 360 calendar can be followed. A solar calendar is basically Uttarayan and Dakshinayan, and that is pretty much 365 days. So that is not 360 days, that is 365 days. And then we use, I don't want to go into details here, but it uses something called Adhikamas. That is like you add one more month, and so there are systems like that. And then you have in the Parashara Hora Shastra, which is the astrological treatise written by Parashara, who is the father of sage Vedavyasa. There he introduces what is called as the Vimshottari Dasha system. And there again, most people these days use the 360-day system, whereas some people are also trying to use the 365-day system. But it is there are so many ways by which all this can be used. I wouldn't, and there are also figurative ways of saying, like here in the Bhagavatam or in the Rig Veda, on the Aitreya Brahmana, there are just analogies and allegorical explanations of 360 days as well. So in some places there is 360, some places there is 365, and some places there is 354, which is the lunar equivalent of the solar. So in a sense, it is lunisolar. It is not lunar, it is lunisolar, solar.
Okay. One more minute, Prabhu. Sorry, I'm not leaving you on this. I'm so sorry. But I just want to understand it again. So the 360 days I understood based on tithis. I got that. And you said Parashara Hora Shastra also uses that as we do use in the calculations of Dasha and all that. Now, the three, and you also said it is for the Soma Yajna, Soma sacrifices.
Yes, yes.
Now, the next one was 354. Can you say that again? Sorry, I also got disconnected at one point.
354 days is that many solar days in the 360 tithis. The 360 lunar days contain only 354 solar days. There are only that many sunrises and sunsets and that many moonrises and moon.
Got it.
Moon
and what
sets.
Which systems use that?
No, I'm just giving you the number of solar days in the lunar.
Okay, that's all. So we don't know anything beyond that. Okay. And then the 365, is it at all used in the Vedic tradition?
It is the 365 point something. It is not exactly 365, but that is the time it takes for the sun to go from northern and southern hemisphere. And that's how the calendars get adjusted. Every, when we have the Adhika Mas and everything, that's how the calendar gets adjusted.
Uh-huh.
So to come up with the, so if we take each month as a 30 day in a lunar calendar, but then you add that 1 month and stuff, and that's how the calendar gets adjusted. So the 365 day will come anyway.
Uh-huh. So it is anyhow coming in terms of adjustment is what you're saying.
Yeah, but the same thing, the Gregorian calendar or whatever it is called, even that does the same thing. You know, you have a leap year and stuff, and they add it every once in 4 years. They do all these kind of things. In every calendar, these kind of things are done. Different months, they have 31, 30, mm-hmm. and, you know, these adjustments are done everywhere. So,
But where is the need for adjustment? Meaning like, I don't know, it's a very stupid question, but when you know that the sun is going to take or the moon is going to take so much time to move through this specific space or through these tithis, then why should we do an adjustment?
That is because the calendar is not lunar, it is lunisolar. Therefore, you have a lunar year and you have a solar
uh-huh.
year. And then both are combined together. That's where the issue comes. So we have, if you take the Gregorian calendar, we have 365 solar days, 365 points something. And that's where the leap year comes into picture. So, but then our calendar is lunisolar. It takes both lunar and you have solar. Like you have the Ekadashi, the Dwadashi, these are all lunar days. But then that is fit into a solar calendar. And therefore, for example, today is also a Sankranti. The sun is entered today, I think, into a different zodiac sign. And therefore, it is a lunisolar calendar. That's why it is not a lunar calendar.
And lunisolar is what even Parashara uses. No, you said he uses only a 360 day, right?
No, that is an entirely different system, Mataji. I don't want to go into detail because that'll be like 1 whole hour. It is, that is called as the Parashara Horashastra. That is used in something called as the Dasha system. And it is, a lot of people use 360 days. Some people even argue for 365 for that. Mm-hmm. But 360 is the widely used by the Indian astrologers. But that really doesn't concern us much. So thank you, Mataji.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Very interesting. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Thank you for those details. Hare Krishna.
Is there any other point of discussion?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I just want to say thank you. That was such an amazing class. There's so much information there. And I like the way that you explained many things that we know, but the way that you explained them was really...
Mataji got dropped off, Mataji.
I think we didn't hear you, Mataji. You said something, it just froze.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No, I was just thanking you for the class. It was an amazing class. And I just like the way that you explained many of the things that we already know. The way you explained it was very different and it put it in a different perspective. So I'm very grateful. Thank you.
That is very kind of you, Mataji. It's motivating and inspiring. So, Dandavat Pranam, Mataji.
Hare Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. Very, very beautiful, beautiful class, Prabhu. Thank you for stressing on the importance of the time. Time is very precious, like we take it light sometime and we don't show our enthusiasm towards spiritual things. Thank you for stressing on that enthusiasm. As long as we have enthusiasm, if we don't have enthusiasm, we cannot do anything. We need to motivate ourselves and try to, you know, give the importance to Krishna consciousness first and later the material things. You were explaining very nicely. First, we would like to give our important things to material. Then we think, okay, today we don't have time, and then we'll postpone it. And that is because spiritual, we take it light. And who is going to ask me, or what is the need for me right now? Like that we think. But actually speaking, the need for us is the spiritual thing later than material, because material can be done anytime, but the spiritual is like, we got the opportunity this time, this life. We are humans, so we have to utilize it. Thank you, Prabhu, for, you know, specifically telling about how to utilize our precious time. Thank you, Prabhu, for beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
And thank you, Mataji. That is very nice words that you spoke. And
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
A lot of people even feel that way because there is the conceptualization of what is happiness is not there. But then if they are able to feel the happiness, even for a very minuscule time, after some amount of devotee association and chanting, then the preference will transcend from the material things to the spiritual things. Because if you don't even know what is Krishna consciousness or what is the experience of that bliss, then why would one give preference to it? So by the greatest benefit that one can have is somehow or the other come in contact with a Vaishnava who is so kind, because they are the people, they are the only people who are the real well-wishers, because they are so kind and they can lift you out of this material problems, because the material problems are not solvable, and they can show you that how one can live in a completely liberated state, even in this material world. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Naso Chati Na Kangshati. That means that when one is in the liberated platform, that is the starting point here of Krishna consciousness. That's one thing you can say. And the second thing is Krishna consciousness, as every step that we take in Krishna consciousness will automatically provide liberation just as a side effect. Just the mukti or the side effect is, it is just a side effect of Krishna consciousness. The more and more we involve in our interaction in Krishna, interaction with the devotees of the Lord, then this concept of liberating ourselves from this material world will come on its own. So we say Brahma. So that is why even the great self-realized souls called as the Atmarama, even they eventually they try to move towards Krishna consciousness, like Sukadeva Swami, or you have the four Kumaras. They're all moving towards Krishna consciousness because there is a taste there. And once the taste is felt even to a small extent, then that enthusiasm that you spoke about will spring in the heart of the devotee. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Somebody was speaking in between just when I was talking.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. It was me, Mataji. Sorry.
Yeah, please, Mataji. You have a question?
Yes, Mataji. Prabhuji, I had a question. To practice Krishna consciousness, like always, there is some amount of enthusiasm, some inspiration that is needed. And there are some days which are very up, high there, you know. Some days are like low. And it is like, you know, you don't want to do, but you are like dragging yourself as a duty. And today is one of that day for me. where I am low on enthusiasm and inspiration. Could you, because I see that you have a vast knowledge depth. I mean, for me, that time, creation and all is out of my, it goes above my head. But how do you sustain, or on those days where the enthusiasm is low, how do you bring it up at least a little so that, you know, you can show that Krishna, you really mean, but today is like, you know, no, I just want to, you know, take a step back. So could you talk something about how to lift us up on the day that, you know, we don't want, don't have any desire?
Thank you, Mataji. Those are some words spoke with a lot of wisdom. And here, I'm going to cite something here, which is a book written by His Holiness Shivarama Swami. And there he talks, it's like almost 1,000-page book. So it's a huge book on the science of devotional service. And there he cites the Goswamis and he says, what is it that attracts the attention of Krishna the most? And there, His Holiness Shivarama Swami, he says, what attracts Krishna the most is an intense urge for Krishna consciousness, an intense urge to please Krishna. And if that intense urge is there in us, and if we develop that, Krishna takes note of it, and then we move up the ladder of the bhakti yoga. So there are so many stages of us trying to get rid of all the anarthas. And by the time we come to the platform of what is called as the semblance of devotional service, okay, which is, it looks like devotional service, but it is not pure bhakti. That is called a semblance of devotional service. And then finally comes what is called as pure bhakti, which is pure devotional service, which is uncontaminated by any material motives. It is uncontaminated by karma yoga. It is uncontaminated by jnana yoga, uncontaminated by dhyana yoga. It is uncontaminated on all platforms. And then there you have what is called as shuddha bhakti or pure devotional service. And that is our ultimate goal. So in the beginning, what we see, the Bhagavad Gita gives the introduction there. Why are people even turning towards Krishna consciousness? So the Bhagavad Gita says, Artho artha arti jignyasu jnani cha bharatarshapa. So a vast majority of people come because of our distress. There is suffering, and that is why beautifully this place is full of sufferings. And without the suffering, most of the people are not even going to come to Krishna consciousness. So suffering is the best blessing to come towards Krishna consciousness. That is number one. The second one, which says is artho artharthi. So that means we need some kind of economic development. So we need salary, we need money, we need a bigger house, some kind of thing to improve our material situation. So these are all in the lower states, okay? Because this is not the platform in which the devotees are operating. And then the pure devotees. And then the third one is jignyasu, inquisitive. They're very inquisitive. They're very inquisitive about even the Vedas, even the different scriptures, that is even learning Sanskrit, for instance. They're very inquisitive about all these things, but these, in a sense, are not very important, because learning Sanskrit, being able to pronounce it well, learning the different scriptures, what all they are saying, and learning where is what is where in Bhagavatam, where is that in this Aitareya Upanishad, Brahmana or Taittiriya Upanishad, these are not important. Because the sole purpose of all these scriptures is to give us the love of Godhead. And if it is not able to give so, even learning all these scriptures is of no use. And then the last one is Dhyani. So the next verse, Krishna says, out of all these people, those who come to me in terms of with knowledge is better. And therefore, but you see, even in all these things, there is contamination. It is not pure devotion. And therefore, instead of thinking how whether we are our devotional service, whether it is going up and down, or whether we are down a day, up a day, that is it is going to be that way. We are in that platform, but it is better not to think about think about those situations, because any progress that we make is going to help. So any progress, any step that we take in this devotional service will add on. And Krishna is always watching us. And no matter what effort, we may think that we are putting this effort and we are trying to be enthusiastic and we are trying to do all these things, but we are doing really nothing, because all our efforts is only to somehow or the other to please Krishna, so that Krishna will provide us that enthusiasm. Krishna needs to give us that we are completely incompetent in any way. So we don't have to put that effort to try to be something, but Krishna himself will give us that strength, give us that courage, and help us move towards him. But at every, so the test of whether we are moving towards Krishna comes with every problem. And how it comes with every problem is not about how we are solving the problem, is whether we are approaching those problems in a Krishna conscious manner. That is how we can progress. And with every one of those steps, Krishna himself, so Devi hi esa gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. So Krishna is not, we are not going to be able to cross this ocean of material existence by our effort. But somehow or the other, if we, in the association of like-minded Vaishnavas, start working on it to try to please Krishna, to do things every time we think, what is it that will please Krishna? If we try to approach that in that way, Krishna will provide us that enthusiasm. And we don't need to be even worrying too much, because Krishna is always taking care of all of us. And whether we are aware of it or not, and in the presence of Vaishnavas, he will uplift us. So does that answer the question briefly, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class today. I really liked how you tried tying the scientific concepts with the spirituality. That was a very, very wonderful comparison. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for that.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
In time, I would like to find out if anybody else has any more questions for Prabhuji. If not, that, then we would like to wrap up this call. So Prabhuji, once again, thank you so much for this wonderful class, and we are very, very grateful to you and really look forward to having your association again in future.
Mataji, I would like to make one announcement, Mataji. Today is Ekadasi, so we are having 64 rounds chanting, so we can join after this call immediately or after CC class ends at 11:30 CST. We can join and then we can chant together until the kids' classes starts. So I'll be sending the poster out. Please do join and chant more rounds on this auspicious Ekadasi day. Thank you, Mataji. Just want to announce.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for that announcement. Everybody, please join the call. And thank you so much, Prabhuji, once again. Let's pay obeisances to Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mataji. Bansha.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Kripa Sindhu Bhya Devacha, Patita Nam
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Amazing class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.